You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Is it too late in the process, though, to change that?
Nothing's too late, bro. Everything's made up in politics.
The Wire.
Just yesterday, the Ministry for the Environment released their Our Environment 2025 report, highlighting the impacts of land use on the ecosystem of Aotearoa. The report revealed that between 75 to 95% of Taonga birds, reptiles, frogs, and freshwater fish species were at risk of extinction or being threatened, and that a significant proportion of groundwater had accumulated excess nitrate due to activities such as intensive farming, logging, and urbanization. These findings also paint a grave picture for Te Iwi Māori and Tangata Whenua, whose livelihoods and mana whenua are also threatened by the extinction of native species and land degradation. I spoke to Sean Awatere, a Kaihautū Māori Research Impact Leader and Manaaki Whenua Landcare Research, about the findings from the Ministry of Environment's report and the initiatives led by Iwi and Hapu to address it. To begin, can you give us a rundown on the findings from the Ministry for the Environment and the current state of Te Taiao?
Kia ora, everyone. So the Ministry for the Environment just released our Environment 2025 report. It's a really good comprehensive synthesis of summarising the state of Aotearoa's environment across five domains: land, freshwater, marine, air, atmosphere, and climate. It's a bit different this time around. It actually identifies what some of the drivers are in terms of what's causing some of the changes in our environment. So, for example, for land, it looks like soil erosion, land use change, habitat loss, you know, freshwater space, it's looking at water quality, biodiversity, pollution from land. In the marine, it's looking at sedimentation, fishing pressures, coastal health, and in the air, it's looking at pollution from transport, home heating, and industry. And then there's another section on atmosphere and climate, which is like kind of a cumulative effect that's kind of exasperating those other drivers. And so probably the key messages that are coming from the report is that the drivers are actually causing negative downward trends on the state and quality and health of the tile.
So based on the report, would you say that Te Taiao was under a greater level of pressure than it was facing before?
It's probably like cumulative pressures. So every year that we are kind of apprehensive of making change or fail to make any change in addressing some of the drivers that are impacting the Taiao, then we're going to see that trend going downwards or things getting worse in the Taiao.
So which aspects of the environment are under the most amount of pressure?
Yeah, good question. I think it depends on which domain actually matters most to you. So if you're a whenua person, you're engaged with Ngahere, you're probably going to be seeing changes with respect to the quality of the Ngahere, the times that some of the trees are flowering and so on. And then if you're in the freshwater space, then you're seeing a lot of the legacy impacts from land use negatively affect the quality of the water, along with the health of our Tonga species, tuna, and other freshwater species, inanga, that are in those environments. So then we're also thinking about the marine environment and our estuaries. They're under stress as well. So estuaries where we find a lot of our shellfish, nerputai, and so on. They're in those harbours, the kind of those interfaces between the land and the sea. And, yeah, they're under pressure as well, along with our marine environment. That's pressures from fishing, but then also the warming oceans can cause their fish stocks to shift their migration patterns and go further south. And then there's also the impact of ocean acidification, the water becoming more acidic, impacting on the quality of our shellfish, you know, the shells that they live in. So they're all under impact, and yeah, it's hard to say which one is most under threat. They all are. They all matter because they kind of interact with each other.
Are there any specific policies that may have exacerbated this pressure?
There's not so much specific policies. It's probably the way that society has interacted with the Taiao. If we take more of an individualistic type of approach where you see the environment as an opportunity to extract and exploit to make a lot of money versus one where You have an ethic of care and a duty to look after the environment. I think that individualistic type of approach, that exploitative type of approach, is the most dominant one in Aotearoa. And on the margins, we've got whānau, Hapu and Iwi, and others, and other good allies who are looking at wanting to care for the environment in a manner that ensures that there is that intergenerational equity. So I think attitudes are probably changing, and it might be a generational thing, potentially. And I've got a lot of hope that younger people are on this kaupapa in terms of caring for the taiao to ensure that there is that lasting intergenerational legacy.
Are there any other ways that iwi and tangata whenua are being impacted by pressures to te taiao?
I think because of that close connection that whānau, hapū and iwi have with the taiao, particularly in terms of the taiao, the ngahere, those awa, along with the moana, such key elements of iwi identity, yeah, the ability to be able to serve up kai from the taiao, from the local rohe, there's a sense of mana for a lot of whānau and hapū. And then at the same time, a lot of whānau rely on those taonga species, kauda, fish and tuna, as part of their lifestyles and their well-being, and just to survive. And so when you do have land use changes or impacts that change up the quality of those key taonga species, then it becomes quite difficult for people to be able to sustain themselves, both on a physical level, then also on a cultural level as well. And I think that there are a couple of examples where whānau, hapū and iwi are working in partnership with local communities, local government, and other central government agencies to care for the taiao, such as through co-governance arrangements, that you're really seeing really good positive gains from those types of approaches in terms of looking after the taiao. So through collective approaches, collaborative approaches, and that sense of community is where we're going to get positive gains with respect to improving the environment.
Can you tell us a bit more about how iwi and hapū are collaborating with the government to protect te taiao and what initiatives are out there at the moment?
Yeah, so there's a couple of kaupapa there at the moment that are helping to improve the environment. And it is in that space where hapū and iwi have engaged in co-governance arrangements or in partnership type of arrangements. And it's critical that the Crown actually acknowledges the need for co-governance models and shared decision-making in resource management, because hapū and iwi generally have, along with some other elements of society, have that longer-term thinking and their more collective well-being type of approach. So the one that is highlighted in the report in terms of a good exemplar is Te Wahapū o Waihi, or the estuary project around Waihi and the Bay of Plenty. And it's looking after a significant mahinga kai area. And there's been a number of impacts on the estuary over time. So there's been decades of wetland drainage, river channelization, intensive land use change, contaminated runoff and so on. So it's a partnership arrangement between Ngāti Pakehemo, Ngāti Pakaue, Ki Whakatū, Ngāti Makino, Ngāti Pakeao and Tapuika, with Toi Moana, Bay of Plenty Regional Council, Ministry for the Environment, Ministry of Primary Industries, and other interested landowners. And the aim of the collaborative project is to manage erosion control in the area and plant indigenous trees, because indigenous trees are probably the best solution in terms of mitigating runoff and controlling erosion that goes into the estuary. And they've got some restoration goals, and it's about partnering up with iwi and hapū, partnering up with landowners who support ecological and cultural restoration. And some of the cool things that they've been doing is utilising their own mātauranga in terms of tohu or indicators to monitor the quality or the health of the estuary and the taonga species in that area.
All right, that's about everything from me, but is there anything else you'd like to add before we finish off?
Yeah, probably the main thing to highlight is with the report that's just been released from the Ministry for the Environment is that it is fact-based. It provides an independent review on the environmental trends. So it's probably a key thing to keep in mind that there's a whole bunch of hardworking people at the Ministry for the Environment supported by some other experts and scientists to produce something that's robust and identifies the human environment interconnections, that people are part of the environment. Quote the taiao, ko te taiao te ai. I'm the environment, and the environment is me. And I think that's really key to consider in terms of ensuring that we have that intergenerational lasting legacy with caring for and looking after the environment. And kia ora.
And that was Sean Awatere from Manaaki Whenua Landcare Research talking to us about the Ministry for the Environment's recent Our Environment 2025 report. We'll be back after a quick break. Keep it on the B.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.